नमाम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। So we'll continue our discussion. We have been discussing the first wave of the eastern section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So last discussion we discussed on the definition of pure devotional service, Uttama Bhakti, Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyana Avritam ఆనుకూల్యేన కృష్ణానుశీలనం భక్తిరుత్తమ. సో డిడ్ యూ గెట్ అన్ ఆపర్చునిటీ టు గో ఓవర్ ద స్లైడ్స్? సో మేబీ ఫ్యూ మినిట్స్ వీ విల్ టేక్ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఆర్ ఎనీ క్విక్ కామెంట్స్ క్వశ్చన్స్ ఆర్ సంథింగ్ దట్ నీడ్స్ సమ్ డిస్కషన్ వైల్ అదర్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో హియర్. Actually today parallelly His Grace Burijan Prabhu's Japa retreat is going on in GV, so I tried to shift today's discussion but there was no scope because Thursday and Saturday again Burijan Prabhu's seminar is here and Friday is Nityanand Trayodashi, so it was not possible. So few brahmacharis are stuck up there but others are here, so I didn't want to just cancel the discussion. So we can take a few minutes if there are any quick questions or some clarifications or some discussions based on what we discussed last time about the definition of pure devotional service, and then we will continue the subject matter further. If you had an opportunity to go over it. So last time we saw four characteristics of pure devotional service, two primary characteristics and two secondary characteristics. So the two primary characteristics that we saw were anukulyena krishnanushilanam. Anukulyena means done with an attitude to please Krishna, and krishna anushilanam means some activity to express that desire to please Krishna. That activity could be performed with body, mind or words, both with spiritual emotions and without spiritual emotions. So with spiritual emotions is Bhava Rupa Anushilanam, which is performed at the stage of Bhava and Prema, and without spiritual emotions, or while spiritual emotions have not yet manifested. I mean, because if I say without spiritual emotions, then it might sound like am I talking about some materialistic person or something. This is called as, this is generally practiced at Sadhana Bhakti. So then we saw the two primary secondary characteristics, Anya Bilashita Shunyam and Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. So Anya Bilashita Shunyam means having no other desire other than that desire to please Krishna, and Jnana Karmadi Anavritam means that practice should not be covered by Jnana or Karma. So one kind request is if you don't pay obeisances, you can pay obeisances mentally, because if someone opens the door, they'll not see you, they'll open the door. And so these four aspects of pure devotional service we discussed, anushilanam and krishna anushilanam, ఆనుకూల్యేన అండ్ అన్యాభిలాషిత శూన్యం అండ్ జ్ఞాన కర్మాది అనావృతం. సో వీ హ్యాడ్ అన్ ఎక్స్టెన్సివ్ డిస్కషన్ అబౌట్ వెదర్ ఇఫ్ దర్ ఈస్ ఎనీ రిడెండెన్సీ ఇన్ ది డెఫినేషన్ ఆర్ నాట్, వెదర్ ఎ పర్టికులర్ వర్డ్ కుడ్ బి రీప్లేస్ విత్ అ బెటర్ వర్డ్ ఆర్ నాట్, లైక్ దట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దట్ వీ డిడ్ దట్ ఎక్సర్సైజ్. అండ్ ఎవెన్చువలీ వీ ఆల్సో డిస్కస్డ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ పరిభాష సూత్ర అండ్ వై దిస్ వర్సెస్ ది పరిభాష సూత్ర ఆఫ్ భక్తి రసామృత సింధు. వీ డిస్కస్ ఆన్ దిస్ పాయింట్ అండ్ వీ ఆల్సో సా ఇఫ్ దిస్ డెఫినేషన్ ఆఫ్ ప్యూర్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఫిట్స్ విత్ the definitions of pure devotional service as mentioned in the shastras. So we tried to map sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam and some verses from the third canto 29th chapter we discussed and of course there are other verses but like that. So in this way we discussed the definition of pure devotional service last Tuesday. So if there are no questions or no discussions, then let me ask a question. So of course this point, what we are going to discuss today, we have already discussed. For those of you who have come in the Harinam Chintamani discussion, it will be a repetition. So, so you need not answer because you know we have extensively discussed this aspect. But there are many newcomers, so this is for the benefit of newcomers. We will discuss this. So, what we are going to discuss now is based on this definition of pure devotional service. Now my question is, how many of you feel that your practice of devotional service is actually pure devotional service? That's what we are trying to understand today. We'll try to understand this point today, because you can try to take a minute to reflect on these four aspects and of pure devotional service and see if there is any defect in your practice. Or if you probably do not fulfill one of these aspects or more of these aspects, you can think about it. So the four aspects are Anyabhilashita Shunyam. First is a very critical point, having no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. Second is your practice sometimes or many times or always covered by some aspect of jnana or karma or yoga or vairagya or something like that. And the third is anukulyena, do you have a favorable attitude of pleasing Krishna? And Krishna anushilanam, does that manifest in the form of some practical service? So these are the four things that you can reflect and take a minute to think about it. And those who have already attended the Harinam Chintamani seminar, this will be a revision for you, but you need not answer because you know this aspect we have discussed in detail. So that's what we are going to discuss now. We will try to understand, okay, this is the Bhakti Radham Sindhu definition of pure devotional service, but am I practicing pure devotional service or not? This is what we are going to discuss now. So your time starts now. You can take 1 minute and then you can share your reflections.
Were you there for this class? You want to? Good. You missed it.
Okay, anyone would like to share? And it's a simple question. I'm not talking. You have to share about your own practice. So what you think? Are these four aspects of pure devotional service present in your practice or not? Or if not, what is there, what is not there, you can share. Yes, Prabhu. No other material desire is not there. Okay. Material desires are there. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, the other three aspects are fine. Immediately. Okay. Okay. Anyone else would like to share?
I'm sure whether everything is done for the pleasure of the Lord.
You are not sure whether everything is done for the pleasure of the Lord. Okay. Anyone else would like to share?
Sometimes the knowledge aspect
covers the bhakti aspect. Like, can you give me an example?
Like, I am inclined to watch shloka more. So, I like to kind of, you know, recite shloka. And sometimes it exhibits in the way that, oh, I'm better than others.
Okay. Okay. We will address that point. By the end of this presentation, if that point is not addressed, we will return back. Anyone else would like to share?
So,
Anyabhilashita Shunyam is not there.
Anyabhilashita 10%.
Huh?
Anyabhilashita 10%.
20% only. 50%. Okay, anyone else? Okay. So how many of you feel that your practice fits this definition of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? You can raise your hands. I mean, those of you who are coming for the first, you know, who are newcomers, you can share. How many of you feel your practice of devotional service fits this definition?
Not 100%.
Not 100%. How many of you feel, which means, should I understand that you feel that your practice does not fit this definition? So how many of you feel your practice does not fit this definition?
No, actually, we know this is what is pure devotional service. We are kind of striving to fulfill this.
You are striving, but you are okay. Anyone else?
I think there is space behind also. I don't know who is.
Okay. So, let's try to understand this point. It's an elaborate presentation. So, I would request you to kindly settle down and pay attention. So this verse talks about pure devotional service. See, first thing, if you feel that your practice of devotional service does not fit in the definition of pure devotional service, then probably we might be practicing mixed devotional service, which is called as Mishra Bhakti. So again, we need to go by definitions to understand whether we are practicing Mishra Bhakti. So mixed devotional service definition is given in the third canto, 29th chapter, Kapila Dev's teachings to Mother Devahuti. So I will read, and then if you don't feel embarrassed, you can raise your hands. Okay. So first he talks about devotional service in mode of ignorance, or mixed devotional service mixed with mode of ignorance. Abhisandaya yohimsam dambam matsaryam evava samrambi bhinna drik bhavam mayi kuryat satamasa. The angry person, devoid of compassion, who worships me with intentions of violence, pride and hatred is tamasic in his bhakti. Anyone feels like at least sometimes you fall in this category? Okay. So, angry, devoid of compassion, but worships Krishna. Correct? With intentions of violence, pride and hatred. So, he says he's tamasic in his bhakti is tamasic. Next, he says, Rajasik Bhakti. What is Rajasik Bhakti? Vishayan Abhisandaya Yasha Aishwaryam Evava Archadav Archaye Dyomam Pritak Bhava Sarajasa. He who worships me in the form of deities and others, with desires for other objects, with goals of material gain, fame or wealth, has Rajasik Bhakti. So anyone feels that you sometimes practice this bhakti, you can...
So is this worship going in front of Krishna and saying that I want this, so I am doing this?
We will try to find that out. But at the face value, you can try to answer. We will try to go deeper into this. But at the face value, whatever you read and understand, based on what is written here, you can tell me. If you feel, how many of you feel sometimes you may fall in this category? Right? Karma nirharam uddishya parasminva tadarpanam yajet yashtavyam itiva prithak bhavasa sattvika. What is mixed devotional, what is devotional service that is mixed with mode of goodness? He says, he who worships me with the desire to destroy karma. With the desire to destroy karma means not wanting to suffer. Wanting to destroy suffering. That's what it means. Making his works as an offering. Making his works an offering to the Supreme Lord. Or executing the worship as a duty. Having a desire for liberation. Having a desire for liberation means liberation from material sufferings. He has sattvic bhakti. So how many of you feel sometimes your practice falls in this category? Correct. So now we saw the first definition of Anyabhilashita Shunyam, which most of you felt at least the Anyabhilashita Shunyam part is, you know, maybe I don't fall in that category. Or some others felt, oh, sometimes jnana overpowers my bhakti. Like that. Or someone else may feel sometimes vairagya overpowers my bhakti, or you know, I feel I should do more vairagya, or like that. So therefore, most of you, based on your response, it seems like your practice falls within the mixed devotional service category. So the interesting thing is, which means we should stop discussing Bhaktirasam Sindhu right here. Because Bhaktirasam Sindhu book is only for those who fall within the category of pure devotional service. So now let's try to spend, I will give you a third option. So first we saw the definition of pure devotional service. You felt, no, too lofty for me. And then we saw definition of mixed devotional service. Most of us felt, oh, I think my bhakti is a mixture of bhakti in mode of goodness sometimes, passion sometimes and ignorance sometimes. Correct? So now, we will try to answer some questions. What is contaminated and what is contaminating? Is it bhakti that is contaminated? Is it the bhakta who is contaminated? How many of you feel yes? Is it bhakta or bhakti? Bhakti is contaminated. Can bhakti be contaminated? Okay. So which means you are not contaminated.
You as in the soul under the
tree. That's the next question. So bhakta means whom? Is it the soul that is contaminated?
Soul is contaminated.
Yeah. Soul is contaminated. Soul can be contaminated.
Consciousness.
Is it his swabhava that is contaminated? Or is it his shraddha that is contaminated? Of course, I will define these terms. But before that, this might be quite disappointing that, okay, so if I am practicing mixed devotional service, then probably Bhakti Rasam Sindhu is not meant for me. So, later in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu only, there is a definition of sadhana bhakti and then there is a definition of vaidhi sadhana bhakti. So, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes a very classic verse to define vaidhi sadhana bhakti. How many of you think you are practicing vaidhi sadhana bhakti? Correct. So, now I will give this definition. This is the third definition. First we saw definition of pure devotional service. Second we saw definition of mixed devotional service. Now we are going to see definition of vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Regulated devotional service in practice. Okay. Now, after going through this definition, then you tell me of the three, which definition suits you the most. You can be honest. It could be one, it could be two, it could be three. So, there is no one answer which everyone may have. Whatever you genuinely feel you are practicing, you can share. So, this definition comes in Krishna's teachings to Uddhava in the 11th canto. Very famous verse or couplet, two verses, very, very, very often quoted by acharyas in their works. Jata shraddho matkatasu nirvinna sarvakarmasu veda dukkatmakam kaman parityage api anishwaraha tato bajeta mam prita shraddhalur dridanischaya jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. So now, here he is giving the symptoms of a vaidhi sadhaka. So you can just tell me whether you possess these symptoms or not. Jata shraddho mat katasu. That person must have awakened faith in Krishna katha. How many of you think you have awakened faith in Krishna katha? Right. Nirvinna sarva karmasu. Nirvinna sarva karmasu means one does not feel that apart from practicing devotional service, the 9 limbs or the 64 limbs, I need to practice something more to perfect my spirituality. Which means, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoy. If I practice bhakti, everything else is taken care. How many of you feel this way? Right? Veda dukkatmakam kaman. Knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery. How many of you know this or have an experience of this or you believe in it? Huh? Believe in it? Fourth, parityage api anishwaraha. But still unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. Not always able to say no to sense enjoyment. How many fall in this category? So Krishna's instruction to such devotees, he says, Tato bhajeta mam prita. Please happily worship me. Meaning, don't be disappointed. Don't become depressed that you are not able to give up sense gratification all the time. He says, Shraddhalur, don't doubt the process. Don't doubt whether the process works or not. Have faith in the process. And Dhrida Nishchaya. Dhrida Nishchaya means next time you are faced with that same situation of, you know, an opportunity for sense gratification, can you be little bit more determined to say no? At least try to say no in little bit more determined way. And then he says, Jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. Even though sometimes such a person engages in sense enjoyment, my devotee, perfectly understanding that sense gratification will lead to misery, repents. How many of you, when you stumbled, when sometimes we fall prey to sense enjoyment, how many of us feel repentant? Correct? So now, to summarize, these are the classic symptoms of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. Jata Shraddho Matkatasu, he has awakened faith in the process of bhakti, especially the process of chanting, hearing. Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu, he believes that by bhakti I can achieve perfection, I don't need the support of any other process. Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman, he understands that sense gratification leads to misery, but still he is not always able to say no to sense gratification. And sometimes when he trips and falls, he feels repentant. Krishna's instructions to such sadhakas, please remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. So this is the third definition that we have seen today. So how many of you feel that the first definition, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, best fits your practice of devotional service? No one. How many of you feel the second set of mixed devotional service, Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, how many of you feel that is what best fits my practice of devotional service? How many of you feel that this third definition of Vaidhi Sadhana that Krishna has given, how many of you feel this is what best fits your practice of devotional service? Anyone feels you fall outside these three categories? Which means like demigod worshipper or something like that. So, now, interestingly, this definition of Vaidhi Sadhana comes later in Bhaktirasam Sindhu only. So, which means some clarification needs to be given for how did I, without qualifying for the first definition, how did I become qualified for a later definition? Because when we were discussing about Paribhasha Sutra, if you try to remember, we saw that how all the subsequent definitions in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu must include this basic definition of Anyabhilashita Shunyam, which means a Vaidhi Sadhaka is also practicing Anyabhilashita Shunyam. But we need to understand how. We can't just say, because we need to be able to, because we can't deny that we do have other desires. We can't deny that. Correct? But still, how am I practicing Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti? Because only then I will be able to practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, where the term Bhakti means Uttama Bhakti only. This we saw last time. So even a Vaidhi Sadhaka is practicing Uttama Bhakti. So therefore we need to understand this point, that desires are of two types. Desires which are born out of one's value system. Value system means you can say like that which defines what is right and what is wrong. And there are some desires which are born out of our conditioning. Okay. So value system defines what is right, what is wrong. And our conditioning defines what I like and what I dislike. correct? Certain things we like, certain things we do not like. And sometimes we like those things which are wrong, correct? And sometimes we don't like things which are highly recommended. How many times we face this kind of a situation? Anyone? No. So, the value system is called as Shraddha. Shraddha means that for which you are convinced to give your heart to. Shra means heart. And Dha means to give. So, Shraddha means to give the heart. That's what it literally means. So, where you are convinced to give your heart, that is what is the value system. And the conditioning is called our Swabhava. And there is always a tug of war between the two about what is right and what I like. About what is wrong and what I dislike. Okay. So now, actually the desires which are born out of one's value system, they are called as abhilasha. As here, anya abhilashita shunyam. And desires which are born out of one's swabhava or conditioning, those kinds of desires are called as anartha. Correct. So, anartha is also a desire. Abhilasha is also a desire. Both kinds, therefore there are two kinds of desires. Like for example, how many of you have this desire? Desire to please my spiritual master. Correct. But sometimes, such desires are there. Desire for the opposite sex. Correct. So where is this? But do you see a difference in the nature of these two kinds of desires? How many of you see a difference in the nature of these two kinds of desires? Would you like to share, bro? What is the difference between these two kinds of desires? Damodar Chaitanya. One is in mode of passion. Another is in mode of goodness. Anyone else would like to share?
I would like to welcome the one which is there with you. I would like to cure your
one. So Prabhuji is telling that I would like to cultivate or inculcate the green desire, and I would like to get rid of the red desire. But both desires exist. Both desires exist, right? But you put them in two different bins. The red desire, you want to put it in dustbin. And the green desire, you want to put it in your prarthana bin, right? This is what you would pray for. Krishna, please give me the intelligence and strength to please my spiritual master. Because the desire is there, that's why you are praying for it. And we may also pray, Krishna, please help me get rid of this desire for opposite sex. Correct? If we did not have that desire, why are we praying for it? Right? We are praying for the fulfillment of one kind of desire and praying for the removal of one kind of desire. Like, desire to chant quality rounds. How many of you have this desire? Right? Where is this desire born out of? Shraddha, right? So would you define it as abhilasha or anartha? Abhilasha. So how many times you have this kind of desire? So I just want to, you know, slap that dash dash. So how many times you have that desire? Anger, right? But where is that desire born out of? Is it born out of our conditioning or value system? Conditioning, right? So the point is, bhakti, pure devotional service as defined by Srila Rupa Goswami, if you see carefully, he defines it as anya abhilashita shunya. You have no other desire that is born out of your faith, that is different from no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. He does not define pure devotional service as anya anartha shunyam. If he had defined it that way, then we have no hope actually. Actually, that's why after this, immediately after discussing pure devotional service, the definition of pure devotional service, the first thing that we will discuss next is the six benefits of bhakti. And the first benefit, first of those six benefits is kleshagni. What is the meaning of kleshagni? Removes suffering. And then miseries means, he says prarabdha karma, aprarabdha karma. Miseries that you would encounter in this life and miseries you would encounter in next life. And not just that, you have to destroy the causes of miseries also. The causes of misery is, the cause of karma is the sinful act. And the cause of the sinful act is sinful desire. And the cause of sinful desire is sinful impressions that we have accumulated. So therefore, he describes that how practice of bhakti destroys all of them. So now, one might wonder, if first only you have defined pure devotional service as anya bilashita shunyam, one must have no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. And now you are telling, by practicing uttama bhakti, it will desire all my desires, all other desires other than the desire to please Krishna. You understand? This is contradictory in one sense. Either I am practicing anya bilashita shunya bhakti, I have no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. If that is the case, then what is the meaning of kleshagni? By performing uttama bhakti, all other desires will be destroyed. You see? So which means these two must be talking about different kinds of desires. It's not the same desire. Because if both was abhilasha, then how can you say that practicing uttama bhakti destroys other desires? So therefore, we have to understand, we will try to see some proofs where these kind of discussions happen in unlimited places. Few examples I have put here just to give you some understanding. So while we are discussing, if something is not clear, just please raise your hands and you can ask a question. Okay. So, yes, Prangisho.
We are talking about conditioning. As Krishna speaks in Gita, Swabhava Jiva Kaunteya Nirantara Sevita Karma. Same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. Okay. Till now, see, what I want to present, I have presented. Now, subsequently, now what we are going to see is some proofs to understand how this principle is constantly being highlighted in various sections of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, like that we are going to see now. If the principle is not clear, you can please raise your hands. We will discuss it.
So far, we haven't really explained. The principle is perfect. Can you give some understanding towards
the Rama itself? I am going to give. I will directly read from explanations. You know what I mean by Swabhava. So, then if it's not clear, then we will get back to it. So, now we will see some, anything else you would like to ask? Yes, Prabhu.
What is the, so you said anything which comes from the Swabhava, with Anartha, what if your Swabhava is matching with the Abhilasha?
We will discuss this also. During the course, that will also be answered. So, I don't say that anything, that any desire that arises out of Swabhava is an anartha. good you caught that point. That is not the complete understanding. Actually, there could be many desires which are born out of our swabhava, which may be conducive for devotional service also. But still, there is a sense in which it is wrong. Why? Because even though that desire may be good, but I am executing that desire because I like it, not because Krishna likes it. So, we are acting still on the platform of raga and dvesha. So, therefore, incidental devotional service is no devotional service. So, devotional service means it should be executed for the pleasure of Krishna. So, many of the sattva-guni swabhava we may have, many of the desires which may be born out of our sattva-guni swabhava may be conducive for devotional service, but that does not mean that is devotional service. He is performing devotional service. Well, he is executing it because he likes it. We will get back to this point. It will become little more clearer when we discuss. Yes, this also we are going to discuss. I mean, see, we are in the 14th slide. We have another 65 slides to cover. So, lot of this will be covered. If something will not be covered, I will take it up right now.
When we are striving for anya,
I mean, you have to answer that. Every individual has to answer for himself. I mean, you have been practicing devotional service for how many years?
Yeah.
10 years now. So you can share. Some material desires, have they gone down or not?
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us used to eat onion garlic before coming to Krishna consciousness? I will not go beyond that, but at least this is, I think, fairly okay. No one would feel embarrassed to admit. How many of you still start salivating when you smell onion and garlic? Anyone? Someone may be there. It's disgusting, right? So how did this happen? Definitely, see, I'm talking about not consciously thinking. Even our involuntary system has developed a repulsion. Salivation is involuntary. It is not voluntary. Even our involuntary system has adjusted to our new value system, isn't it? So that is Kleshagni only.
So how do I know what is the level of progress in Anya Vilashadhara?
We'll discuss this. I have one few slides for that. Anything else? Okay, so we will see few proofs for this. In the third canto, you all are Bhakti Shastri, so you must be knowing these verses. We'll be taking from basic Bhagavad Gita only mostly. So in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sadrisham cheshtate swasyaha prakrite jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigrahakyam karishyati. He says, jnanavanapi, even a man of knowledge, cheshtate, he performs cheshta, he performs activities. Swasyaha prakrite sadrisham. Swasyaha, one's own prakriti, is swabhava here. That's what it means. So swabhava means, okay, we will come to what exactly is swabhava. Sadrisham means according to. According to his swabhava, he acts. Even a knowledgeable man. Prakritim yanti bhutani. Everyone acts according to their desires. So, prakriti, swabhava means desires. So, desires means that which inspires the desires, the vasanas, the impressions that we have accumulated. You eat something, you look at something, you hear about something, and you develop some, and that gets registered in the form of an impression. And next time you hear about it, see it or smell it, immediately it generates some remembrance, some emotions. So that impression is called as vasana. So the accumulation of such impressions creates a person's stimulus response system. Like we salivate naturally smelling certain things, like that, based on the impressions that we have accumulated. Or when we look at something, we salivate or we get very excited. So why do we do that? Because we have a past experience of enjoying it, and that past experience has been registered in the form of an impression. That is why. So we'll go a little more deeper into this. So in this verse, Krishna says everyone acts according to their swabhava, conditioning. No one is exempt. But interestingly, in the very next verse, Krishna says, Indriyasya indriyasya arte ragadvesho vyavastito tayor na vasham agachet tauhyasya paripantinau. He says raga and dvesha. Because raga and dvesha means, because what does an impression create? How many of you have had an experience of tasting Karela before? Right? How many of you like Karela? Right? Raga. How many of you don't like Karela? Dvesha. You see, in every, so impressions gets registered in the form of raga and dvesha. Likes, dislikes, like that. So raga, dvesha, vyavasthita. Attachment and repulsion are firmly fixed. Indriyasya indriyasyat, and each of sense object, like that, any sense object we can think of, we have, if we have experienced it before, we have strong aversion to strong attachment and anywhere in between, certain things very neutral, like that. But Krishna says tayor na vasham agachet, one should not come under the control of raga and dvesha, he says. Why? Tauhyasya paripantino. Because these two are two obstacles. Just in the previous verse, he said, everyone acts according to their nature. Nature means raga and dvesha. But now in the very next verse, he says, but you should not act according to your nature. On what basis is he instructing Arjuna or recommending Arjuna that don't act according to your nature? If everyone is anyway going to act according to his nature, then why, on the strength of what is Krishna requesting Arjuna to not act according to his nature? Yes, Prabhu. Possibility of transcending your consciousness. How do you do that? Answer something little bit more based on not your bhakti understanding but common sense understanding. How do you transcend responding to your senses calling you for, oh, I like it, so I should eat it? How do you transcend it? But why do you want to control it? Because it is wrong. There must be some understanding of right and wrong, right? Favorable or unfavorable, anukool or pratikool. Otherwise, I get a desire to eat ice cream. Why should I not eat? Why should I control? Because there must be some understanding of ice cream is good for me or bad for me. Based on that understanding only, then the control comes, right? Like, how many of you like Prabhupada? How many of you are trying to control that attachment? Anyone? Why? Why not? Because there is an understanding that it is good, correct? So when you say that I want to control attachment and repulsion, that statement makes sense only when there is an understanding of right and wrong, because that is the opposing force. So that understanding has to be there. And from where does one get that understanding? Where?
Scriptures.
Scriptures. So let's read what Baldevidya Bhushan explains about this verse to all of us. If the actions of men were under the control of their sinful natures, then the positive and negative injunctions of the scriptures would be useless. If everyone is going to helplessly act according to their natures, then what is the need for scriptures? The scriptures say what is right, what is wrong. There is no need, because irrespective of whatever the scriptures say is right and wrong, everyone will act according to what they like and they will reject what they don't like. What is the need for scriptures? Even if they are prescribed by scriptures, such things as talking to saintly persons, serving them, or going to holy places become the object of hatred, seen as unfavorable or disagreeable to the individual. Look, this new movie has come. I really want to do it, but you know, actually, I understand the Shastras say that you should go to temple, take association of devotees. But still, you know, it's so boring. I know it's right, but it's so boring. Sometimes you feel like that. Right? But even though living entities have the tendency to follow these feelings of desire and hatred, we all have, the person desiring the highest good, you see, desiring the highest good means what is right, what is wrong. I know you like it, but it's not good for you, we say. Good is talking on the level of Shreyas. Likes is on the level of Prayas. Correct? So, even though living entities have the tendency to follow the feelings of desire and hatred, the person desiring the highest good should not fall under the control of desire and hatred, since they cause obstacles on his path. So, obstacles on his path means what? What does this phrase imply? What does a path imply? A path implies a destination, a goal. Correct? So, obstacles in a path means So, which means you have a goal. Goal means abhilasha. Obstacles means anartha. And anarthas are in the form of raga and dvesha. Correct? They are like thieves standing in front of the traveler on the road. What is stated is this. Impressions or vasana, which have operated since beginningless time, give rise to actions forbidden in the scriptures. Because we have, some of us may have, tasted liquor or whatever, things which are not very favorable for Krishna consciousness, through one of our five indriyas, rupa, rasa, sparsha, gandha and shabda, hearing unfavorable things, smelling unfavorable things, seeing unfavorable things, tasting unfavorable things, experiencing the touch of unfavorable things which are unfavorable for bhakti. And these have existed since time immemorial. We still have access to some of the impressions which we might have experienced in our past lives also. That is why some people are born with certain very powerful skills. Some are born with a very superior musical talent, some with superior artistic talent. Some are very born very emotionally sensitive people. Some are very extremely emotionally insensitive people, like that. So these impressions give rise to actions forbidden in the scriptures. Accompanying the desire arises knowledge of the positive features of doing so. Like, hey, no one will watch. See, this is actually in this particular place, no devotee anyway stays. This is such a remote corner. And absence of knowledge of anything negative in doing so. The last time you did, next day you could not concentrate on your japa, or your consciousness became very bad. That will all be clouded because the power, by the power of vasana, by the power of impressions. So this desire makes men act. Then person goes and engages in that particular act. In a similar way, hatred may develop concerning doing things that are prescribed in the scriptures. Scriptures say go to temple. Say this is the only day I get to rest. Correct. The scriptures which direct one to associate with the saintly persons will turn one away from and make one detest what is forbidden. Even though it is pleasurable to the mind, because mind works on the platform of raga and dvesha. By making one understand the undesirable consequences of forbidden act. And they will also make one have attraction for and engage in acts prescribed by scriptures by making one. So the scriptures, what do? They understand, look, I understand that you like it. But I also understand that you have this higher goal. You see, if you want to achieve this goal, then you have to give up these temporary temptations. So like that the scriptures explain. So therefore, even though, so in the, what the previous verse means is, in the absence of a value system provided by the scriptures, everyone will naturally act according to their likes and dislikes. Because there is there is nothing that is stopping them, because there is no understanding of good or bad. Because when there is an understanding of good or bad, then there is, then comes a debate. It is good, but I don't like it. It is bad, but I like it. Then the tug of war comes. Like that. So in the absence of a value system, there is no question of a person will naturally act according to his desires only, likes and dislikes. So in the footnote, so the meaning of the word vasanas and how vasanas accumulate to become swabhava, the definition of swabhava is indicated. Vasanas or samskaras, impressions, are means by which experiences of previous lives stay with the jiva life after life. Under certain conditions, the impressions activate, creating memory of previous like or dislike. Desires appear and thus the jiva acts. So when that vasana is triggered, then that vasana makes us gives us an experience of, oh, what we experienced before, when we tasted this, when we saw this, when we touched this, and so on. Then that desire comes. Oh, let me experience it again. And then the jiva acts on that desire. Even though vasanas or impressions are powerful to instigate the jiva to action, they do not make the jiva powerless to make his choices. So why would the jiva make a choice against his vasanas? Why?
Because the knowledge of right and wrong sources.
I will repeat my question again. You understood, you misunderstood the question, but your line of answering is right. Why would a jiva desire to choose to act against his vasanas?
Only if he is convinced that goal is good to
be. Only when there is an understanding of this is right or this is not right, even though my vasana is pushing me in that direction. So therefore, we were discussing some time back this concept of free will. Free will only has a meaning when there is an understanding of right and wrong. Like for example, like how many do you any times say that do you have the willpower? I will make some statements and you tell me whether this statement is in usage. These statements will make grammatical sense. I am not asking you to evaluate the grammar of these statements, but I am asking you to evaluate whether these statements are used. If they are not used, then you tell me why they are not used, or if they are used, you tell me why they are used. Okay. Do you have the willpower to keep checking your WhatsApp messages? Is this statement grammatically right? Huh? Right. But is it used usage? Is this a, is it in usage? Like, do you ask, like, do you have the willpower to keep looking at your WhatsApp messages? Why? Because that does not need any willpower, right? So automatically you check, ping, the sound comes and then. Okay, another statement. Do you have the willpower to not keep looking at your WhatsApp messages? Does this make sense?
Yes.
Right. Why? Grammatically both statements are right. So why one statement sounds illogical, another statement sounds very logical? Why? Huh?
One case, control of mind is required. In that case, you won't require the mind to be slow. Slow with whatever mind is.
Okay. Anything else?
One right is right and one right is wrong.
Because there is an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. You say, oh, do you have the willpower to eat ice cream? Never used, right? Even though it's grammatically right. Do you have the willpower to study 10 hours a day so that you can crack IIT? It's there in usage. Why? Because there is an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. So therefore, the point is, like I asked this question before also. So you have one, say, rasgulla, and on another plate you have rasmalai. Okay. I say, please choose one. Let's say if someone chooses rasmalai. Is he exercising his free will there?
Yes.
He is not exercising the free will, because according to the Shastras, free will means when a person chooses to act according to his understanding of what is right. That is the meaning of free will. What we call as willpower. Free will means the ability to act according to one's conviction of what is right, and one's ability to refrain from acting from things which he is convinced that it is wrong. That is free will. So if one likes rasmalai and he chooses it, that is not free will. He is actually being just pushed by the modes. His vasanas is just pushing him in the direction and he is just getting pushed by the modes. So where is his exercising the free will? So therefore, people may say, how can you say that I am not, I don't have choice? You know, I chose the color of my house, you know, what color to paint. I chose the furniture. It's all according to my choice. I exercise my free will and you say that I don't have free will. So the point is, yes, that is your understanding of free will, but that's not according to Shastras what is the meaning of free will. Free will means when there is a value system and you consciously try to make your choices according to the value system, even though those choices may not be according to your preference. That is the meaning of free will. Free will does not mean you do what you like. That is not free will. That is the will of the modes. That is not your will. Okay. So, free will of the jiva exists along with his experience of vasanas, which means there is vasanas, then there is free will. This enables the jiva to choose the advice of scripture over his material desires. Okay. So, one may incidentally act in a right way also, but there is no exhibition of free will. Okay. I shared this example many times in the previous course, but for the newcomers I will share it again. That once you know, Madhav Gopal Prabhu, one of our devotees, he was sharing this his story. So he grew up in Dombivli. He had many friends, and one of his neighbors who was his friend was a girl whom he grew up with. She was from a very pious family and they were pure vegetarians. So even when they used to play in their childhood, even when someone used to say, "Hey, I have egg in my lunch box," or something like that, she used to feel nauseated, you know, "Oh, what is this?" like that. Then fast forward, say about 20 years. So Madhav Gopal Prabhu meets this same girl. She is married now and he has joined the Brahmacharya Ashram now. So incidentally, and Madhav Gopal Prabhu, she asks Madhav Gopal Prabhu, "You look quite different. What do you do?" And then he explains. And then he asks, "What do you do?" And she says, "Oh, I am married. I am a housewife." And he says, "Okay, so what do you do, you know, in your free time?" She says, "She blogs. She writes blogs." "What blogs?" She, okay, now, you know, let's go back few more years. So when she entered college, after she fell in love with someone, she got married to that person. And he was not a vegetarian. So she said, "Okay, you may choose to eat, but outside, not at home." Then after some time, she decided she wanted to please him a little more. She said, "Okay, you can bring it home and eat, no problem, but it cannot be cooked at home." Then after some time, she said, "Okay, you can cook it at home also, no problem." And later she wanted to please him little more. She said, "Okay, let me cook it for you, but I will not eat." But then after some time she realized, if I am cooking for him, how do I know whether it's tasty or not? So I might as well taste it, but just for feeding him. Over a period of time, after tasting a few times, she actually started liking it because the additional vasanas. Then she started trying out various different recipes. Then she actually became an expert. And this is exactly what she does in her blog. Share various recipes, non-vegetarian recipes. And she's quite popular. Many people read and try those recipes, appreciate those recipes. So this is the very same girl who would feel nauseated even hearing the word egg or meat like that. Now, just with few years and few more vasanas have accumulated and her swabhava has changed. Now she has started liking it. What to speak of liking it? She is an expert now. Expert cook. So, this is the point. In the beginning, her dislike was not based on any value system, whether it is right or wrong. It was just based on her own, you know. So, if someone who grew up never eating meat, it's such a disgusting smell actually. But over a period of time, she just started accumulating the other vasanas and then she changed actually. So, therefore, neither was there willpower. It was not that by her willpower she chose to get nauseated in the beginning. And it's not by her willpower that she is cooking now. It's all being pushed and pulled by vasanas only. So, therefore, willpower means, or free will means, freely willing to act according to the injunctions of the scriptures. That's the meaning of free will. Even though in trying to do that, we may meet with defeat. Sometimes the free will wins, sometimes the vasanas win. But the fight should go on. Okay. So, these vasanas create desires, and our understanding of shastras, free will, it creates alternative desires. The vasanas say, you liked it very much. You used to like it so much. Why you are not eating now? You should eat. And the free will says, do you think your guru will be happy if you do it? Do you think Prabhupada will be happy if you do it? Do you think Krishna will be pleased? So, you know, this is an alternative desire. This is free will actually. So, this free will is the desire which is born out of one's Shraddha, which is called as Abhilasha. And this desire which is born out of our vasanas, that is called as Anartha. But for this girl, there is no understanding of Anartha or Abhilasha, there is only understanding of Raga and Dvesha. Initially, she felt nauseated, not because it is wrong to eat meat, because she didn't like the smell, she didn't like the sound. And later, her choice of eating it was also based on her vasanas only. So, there is no question of any free will there, there is no question of any value system there. That's what here he is explaining about the vasanas and samskaras. Yes, ma'am.
You made a statement sometime back, that willpower is exercised, knowledge about right and wrong.
Correct.
And you use it towards right.
Correct.
That is called willpower.
Yeah, or free will.
So, for example, if we think of an example,
yeah.
Hypothetically speaking, there's a person who knows that making virus.
Making?
Viruses. Software.
Okay, software virus.
That is the wrong thing.
Correct.
And he said, but anyways, I want to make it. There are times when he's struggling with his lethargy. That, you know, I don't feel like really putting my mind into it. And second case, he thinks that I should put my lethargy behind and use my, you know, my power, my so-called willpower, towards working hard to make virus. So that power which he is using towards, you know,
which means he is
lethargy behind. Is that, what is that power? It's not a willpower. What is it? So that's not, he's not using for righteousness.
Nay, he is. That is just his mode of passion overpowering his mode of ignorance. That's all. That is not willpower.
He will say it's my willpower.
He can say whatever he wants. We are trying to understand what the Shastras call as willpower or free will. So, it is just his mode of passion vasana overcoming his mode of ignorance vasana. That's all. But ultimately it is vasana only that is pushing him in that direction. Correct? See, lethargy is one kind of vasana. But mode of passion also creates, it creates certain things. Lobha pravrittir arambha karmana mashamaspriha. Bhagavad Gita says. Lobha, greed. Pravritti, constantly wanting to do some actions. Arambha, always starting some new endeavors. Karmana mashamaspriha, insatiable desire to perform fruitive activities. These are the ways in which Rajogun pushes a person. Whereas Tamogun pushes a person in the opposite direction, lethargy. Aprakasho, apravrittischa, pramado moha evacha. This is the nature of mode of ignorance. That pushes him in, oh, I will not do. Let me take rest. Let me, you know, I have really worked hard. Like that. So both are pushed. One by mode of passion is pushing him. One mode of ignorance is pushing him. That's all. That is not willpower. Okay, another example.
So,
yeah.
You said that there is constant fight between vasana and free will.
Correct.
So when free will wins, that is anyabhilashita
shunyam. Even when vasana wins, it is anyabhilashita shunyam. Because at least free will is fighting. Can you say that India won the match today? Then naturally what will be the next question? Against whom? You say against no one, just India played and won. Does it make any sense? So the point is it like when free will wins, it's anyabhilashita shunyam, and when vasana wins, is it not anyabhilashita shunyam? No. The fact that the free will is at least fighting the battle means it is his abhilasha is clear, just that the anartha is winning now, but with practice abhilasha will take over. That's what it means. Someone who has no idea about the scriptures, according to the scriptures, has no free will, just like animals have no free will. And it might be a harsh statement, but the fact is we have to try to understand how the scriptures define free will. It's just a question of definition, that's all. So someone who has no understanding of scriptures will just be pushed and pulled by his moods, that's all. So in that sense, that is not literally free will.
But the moods also, they try to control.
Moods do try to control.
No, without the knowledge of the scriptures. He is trying to win over the modes.
Okay, very valid point. So he is telling that the jiva also, without the knowledge of the scriptures also, he tries to win over the modes. You know what Bhagavad Gita talks about it? He says, rajas sattvam tamas chaiva tamas sattvam rajas tata. There is a constant competition between the modes. So when you say that, Prabhu, look, even a smoker is trying to stop his smoking. So he is exercising his free will. No. His desire to smoke is one vasana which is controlling him. The suffering that he is experiencing due to smoking is the other vasana which is controlling him. Sometimes the desire to smoke, that desire is overpowering the desire, even the desire to overcome suffering. And sometimes the desire to overcome suffering overpowers the desire to smoke. That's all. There is no value system there. Another proof. Till now, is the line of discussion clear? Now, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, again, Arjuna asks very famous question. Ata kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichchanapi varshneya baladiva niyojitah. O Krishna, Ata Kena Prayuktaha, what is that force which is pushing? Ayam Purushaha Papam Charati, which is pushing a person to commit a sinful activity. First thing, he does not say activity. You see, he says Papam. When would someone say Papam? When he has an understanding of that this is wrong, that's why he is calling it Papam. Right? You think a Chinese would say eating live animals, you think he will call it Papam? He'll say, I am eating my breakfast or I am eating my lunch. Whereas you will say, you know, why is he committing such a sin? We may say. So the choice of words, you see, Papam Charati, which means already he has an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Papam. Prabhuji, are you trying to find these things in your notes? This is not that PPT. This is a different PPT. Because I saw you were searching for quite some time. And then you see the next choice of words. He says Anichan. Anichan api. Even though unwilling. So who is that person who will perform an act without his willingness? Is there anyone who will perform an act without his willingness? So one person on one side he says prayuktaha, pushing, and on another side he says anichan, papam. So where is that where is that desire to perform that act coming from? Where is that desire to perform that act coming from? Conditioning. Vasanas. Where is that anicca coming from? Value system. Shraddha, right? That is why he is telling. Anichanapi. Even though I don't want to do Krishna. But I am pushed. Who is pushing me? Of course, Krishna says, Kamayesha Krodayesha Rajoguna Samudbhavan. Krishna, Arjuna, it is vasanas, which manifest in the form of kama. Okay. So, of course, I will fast forward because we have not even completed one third of what I intend to complete. And it's already two thirds of the time is over. So, next, another verse, famous verse, you all know this, that clock does not work. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. This is the third chatushloki of Bhagavad Gita. So it says, dadami buddhi yogam, I give intelligence, Krishna says, to whom? Tesham, to those people. Satata yuktanam. Satata yuktanam means who constantly desire to be with me. And to such people, I give them intelligence. What else do they do? Bhajatam priti purvakam. They worship me with great love. Yenamam upayantite. And by such worship, they attain my association. So he says that I give intelligence to those people who constantly desire to be with me and worship me with great love. Interestingly, in the very next verse, Krishna says, Tesham eva anukampartam aham ajnanajam tamah nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvata. Very interesting verse, you see. Tesham eva. Here the word Tesham refers to whom? The previous verse, right? Because it's a continuation. Suddenly he can't tell about Tesham, about totally different people, because there is no continuity in that statement, right? So Tesham eva means those very same persons. Krishna says anukampartam, with deep compassion for them, to show some favor for them. Aham, I, atma bhavasto, while situated within them, Nashayami. I destroy. What does Krishna destroy? Agyanajam tamaha. The darkness born out of ignorance. Bhaswata Jnana Deepinam, the shining lamp light of knowledge. Now, the question is, where did this darkness born of ignorance arise in the person who is constantly desiring to be with Krishna and who is worshipping Krishna with great love? And what is this darkness? Let's see what Baldev Devotion says, and we will also see what Prabhupada says. Since they have been existing in darkness of ignorance for such a long time, how is it possible that you can illuminate their hearts? Someone may ask Krishna, how can you illuminate their hearts? They have been in the material world for so long, they have accumulated so many material impressions. They will be impelled by those impressions. How is it possible? This is one line, okay? But a long line, but a very important line. I will read slowly. You please try to assimilate what Baldev Devotion is. Baldev Devotion is speaking what is there in Krishna's heart. For those who cannot maintain their lives without me. Okay. For my unalloyed devotees alone. Unalloyed devotees. Unalloyed means? Without any? No anya bilasha. Correct? Unalloyed means they have no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. So, those who cannot maintain their lives without me, for my unalloyed devotees alone, since they are worthy objects of my mercy, I, situated with attachment for that soul, like a bee in the lotus flower, reveal in the Atma my dazzling form and qualities. Okay. I am situated in their hearts, and while situated in their hearts, I reveal my form and qualities. And by that, what does Krishna do? This is the most important section I will read. Destroy darkness in the form of desire for objects other than myself. But how did Krishna describe this person? Unalloyed devotee. And who cannot maintain his life without me. That unalloyed devotee who cannot maintain his life without Krishna is having desire for objects other than Krishna. Born from ignorance in the form of beginningless karma, which means vasanas. By means of the glowing lamp of knowledge concerning my form and qualities. You see? So, where is the unalloyed nature present and where is that alternate desire there? Is Krishna talking about two different people in this one line? Or is he talking about the same person? So, the point is, he is unalloyed because on the level of his conviction, he has no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. But on the level of his conditioning, he may be troubled by other desires, which may be desires other than the desire to please Krishna. So, that possibility is there. I, being satisfied with their exclusive devotion to me, having the quality of being responsible for bestowing and preserving what they need, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, elevate their intelligence and destroy the ignorance within. I bear the responsibility for all this, Krishna says. It is my responsibility to destroy your anarthas. It is your responsibility to worship me. They do not have to take pains for this at all. Just Do we have to perform some additional devotional service for Anartha Nivritti? Anartha Nivritti automatically happens. We have to perform all our devotional service for pleasing Krishna. No additional devotional service need to be performed for destroying Anarthas. because this is Krishna's responsibility. Okay, I'll just skip some sections because we are getting late. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. You see, Prabhupada uses pure devotee, and pure devotee worships Krishna, and by pure devotional service, impurities are gone. So which means, while he is worshipping with impurities, is he a pure devotee or not? Yes, that's how Prabhupada has mentioned. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association, through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. Okay. This is 10.11 purport. So this verse is the pivotal verse. Actually, this here, this understanding is very, you can say very, something more stronger than that. In a very clear-cut way, this is brought about in this verse. So you all know this verse. Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi sahat. Even if the most sinful person, suduracharo, bhajate mam, he worships me, ananyabhak, you see, with no other desire than the desire to please me. Who is worshipping? Suduracharo. So this Sudurachari has no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. Is it possible? Is he talking about two different people? He says, Bhajate mam ananyabhak, with no other desire than other than the desire to please me. Sadureva samantavya, I consider that person to be my devotee. Why? Samyak vyavasito hi saha, because he has fixed himself completely in me. While performing all these sinful activities, he has fixed himself completely in Krishna. So this needs some explanation, right? Otherwise, so Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes, we'll read from both Vishnu Jagadakur and Prabhupada. My attachment to my devotee is my very nature, Krishna says. That attachment does not decrease even if the devotee commits wrong, for I make him come up to the highest standard. If someone with bad conduct, so he is explaining what is Suduracharo, okay, addicted to violence, addicted to thievery, addicted to adultery. This is Suduracharo's explanation by Vishnu Jagadakur. And what does that Suduracharya do? Worships me. Worships no one except me. And does not follow any other process like karma or jnana. Jnana karma dhyanavritam. And the last part is most interesting. And he has no other desire other than my desire. But still he is addicted to thievery, addicted to violence, addicted to adultery. Is he talking about two different people? So where is that thievery, adultery and violence present? Conditioning. And where is that the aspiration to please Krishna, where is it coming from? Ishraddha, correct. But Purva Paksha, he presents a Purva Paksha. Purva Paksha means opposing argument. one may argue with Krishna. But Krishna, considering his bad conduct, how is he a devotee? So Krishna says, he is to be respected as a devotee because of his devotee qualities. It is a command. Not doing so is offense. My order is the authority, Krishna says. Then the Purvapaksha opponent, he says, okay. So let me present my understanding, he says. So what I understand is, so he should be considered a devotee in that portion where he worships you, and as a non-devotee in that portion where he commits adultery, right? So when he is committing adultery, he is non-devotee, and when he is committing, when he is worshipping you, he is a devotee, like Mataji asked. So when the free will wins, he is a anyabhilashita shunyam, and when the vasana wins, then there is no anyabhilashita shunyam. Is that the understanding? So Krishna says, let's see what Krishna says. Okay. So is it that in the portion that he commits adultery, he should be considered a non-devotee, and in the portion that he commits, he performs devotional service, he should be considered a devotee? That's what you want me to understand, right? Krishna says, no. He should be considered as a devotee in all his parts. You should not see his bad qualities at all. Why? He says, samyak vyavasthitah. He is completely convinced. What is his conviction? He makes a splendid resolution. I will go to hell for my sinful actions, which are hard to give up. But I will not give up dedicated worship of Krishna. Okay. That's his internal conviction. What can I do? I cannot give up. You know, for those of you who are new, there is this example. This happened in our Gopinath temple only, right above you. There was a few years back, there was a person who was a chain smoker. Chain smoker means what? Literally chain smoker. He used to light his next cigarette using the previous cigarette. Yeah, like that. So that not a moment goes without experiencing the bliss of smoking. Avyarthakalatpam. So, once a devotee took compassion upon this personality. And he started preaching to him. And this person accepted the philosophy. So he started coming to temple. He started coming to the morning program actually. So he would come to the morning program, and after the samsara prayers, he used to just run out of the temple hall. Go down, smoke one cigarette, and then run back to the temple hall. And he'll be there when Narsingharti starts. Narsingharti Tulsi Puja will get over. And in the meantime, when Shikshashtakam and 10 offenses are there, he will go for one more smoke. And then by the time, you know, for chanting, he will be back. He will wash his hands, mouth, everything. Come for chanting. He will chant 3-4 rounds. Go out. One cigarette. Come back. Then 4 more rounds like that. The one who introduced him to Krishna consciousness, he understood what he was doing. He was okay. But others got bewildered. Where is he running in between? So one of them followed this person. He saw that he was going out of the gate, and he is going to a dark corner. Then he was wondering, what is he doing? Is he offering some special prayers or something? So he went and saw, he had cigarette in his mouth smoking. Of course, Prabhupada also talks, you know, not that you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and smoke bidi, right? But Prabhupada is talking about different. When he went close, he wanted to go and chastise this fellow. You imposter, like that. You pretender. So when he went close, he actually saw this person was crying. And he was smoking. And this, he saw that devotee was standing next to him. He said, Guruji, please forgive me. I can't give it up. I'm finding it very difficult, but I'm trying. And he was crying. So he understood. And he said, please don't allow me to attend the programs, because that is what is giving me strength. So eventually, that person gave up smoking, got initiated, his family members all got initiated. So the point is, this is the meaning of Samyak Vyavasito Hisa. Even when Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur used to take Vrindavan Yatras in those days, Prabhupada also attended one of them, which documented. So, one fine morning, they never had this Fogla Ashram and, an advance party goes and books, accommodations and all that. They used to carry tents. Whoever goes, they used to have one Mataji's tent, one Prabhuji's tent, that's all. Or there were many tents like that. So one fine early morning, everyone was in one particular tent, people were shouting, I lost my bag, where is my bag, where is my dhoti, like that. And where is my slippers, like that. And with all that commotion, everyone came there and saw. And then they realized, oh, whose bag is this? And someone said, oh, that's my bag. How did it reach there? And then someone said, oh, whose bag is this? And then someone said, oh, it's my bag. How did it reach there? Like that. And everyone, so they exchanged their bags, slippers, everything. Then someone was wondering, who did all these things? So one... So someone raised his hand. He said, I'm really sorry. Actually, I was a thief before I came to Krishna consciousness. And at night, I can't sleep. My hands start itching to, commit some thievery. I tolerated it for so many days, but I could not. So, but I know that it's wrong. But at the same time, I can't tolerate my itch, and I was not getting sleep. So I just to satisfy my itch, I took one bag from here and put it there, and the other bag from here and put it here. One slipper from here, there, other slipper here. At least some satisfaction. So some job satisfaction. So like that. So he was. But he knew he could have as well flicked some money or whatever. He didn't do that. But still that urge was difficult to give up, and he succumbed to it. So this is the meaning of Samyak Vyavasito Hisaha. He knows it is wrong, and he knows, let me go to hell, but please don't, Krishna, please don't let me give up your devotional service. King Kulashekar prays, Naham Vande Tavacharanayor Dvandva Madvandva Hetoho Kumbi Pakam Gurumapi Hare Narakam Narpanetum Ramya Rama Mrudutanulata Nandane Napirantum Bhave Bhave Hridaya Bhavane Bhavayevam Pumantam. So he says that, my dear Lord, even I am not afraid of hell. For my sins, if you want to send me to hell, you send me, no problem. But I just don't want to give up devotional service. That is the conviction of this person. That is the meaning of Samyak Vyavasito Hisaha. That's Srila Vishnachakra Thakur's explanation of this verse. Srila Prabhupada brings out this point in his own unique way. Prabhupada says, the word su duracharaha used in this verse is very significant, and we should understand it properly. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. Conditional, constitutional. What is conditional activity? Vasana, swabhava. And what is constitutional activity? Value system, that is bhakti. As for protecting the body or abiding by the rules of society and state, Certainly there are different activities even for the devotees in connection with conditional life, and such activities are called conditional. Besides these, the living entity who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or the devotional service of the Lord has activities which are called as transcendental. Now I will answer the question asked by Prabhuji. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position and they are technically called as devotional service. Now, in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. They are parallel. I like chanting and chanting is good. I like chanting Maha Mantra. So, your condition may parallel with your constitutional recommendations. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another, which means your conditional nature is pulling you in one direction, but your constitutional nature is pulling you in the other direction. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition, which means what this essentially means is, as far as possible, a devotee does not try to put himself in unfavorable association where his material vasanas may get triggered. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord being situated within his heart purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. This is a Bhagavatam verse. Swapada Moolam Bhajata Priyasya Tektanya Bhavasya Hari Pareshaha Vikarma Yachot Paditam Katanchit Dhunoti Sarvam Hridisan Nivishta. Krishna says, Vikarma Yachot Paditam. Before that, he says, Swapada Moolam Bhajata Priyasya. One who worships my lotus feet with love and affection. Tekta Anya Bhavasya. Giving up Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. Giving up all other influence of karma, jnana, etc. Vikarma yachot patitam katanchit. Somehow, if by push of his vasanas, he commits some sinful activity, abominable activity. Dhunoti sarvam hridisan nivishta. I present in his heart will destroy all those anarthas and the sinful reactions also. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success like that. I will rush. And then the next verse Krishna says, this is the verse after Apichetsu Duracharo verse that we just discussed. Krishna says, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Shantim Nigachati Kaunteya Pratijanehi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Very quickly he becomes a righteous person, Krishna says. This person will very quickly, like this person, very quickly gave up smoking, started practicing devotional service very sincerely, came up to the level of initiation to the extent that he could influence his family members to practice and they took up initiation. That is the practical proof of what Krishna is telling here. Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Like, we all have our own small stories. We may not have been chain smokers, but in our own little way we probably did not have a very honorable life before coming to Krishna consciousness. But somehow Krishna consciousness has saved us. It is transforming us. I won't say that we are completely transformed, but you can't deny that the process of transformation is working. Can someone deny that I have been practicing for so many years, zero transformation, nothing. I am exactly the same as I was before. Anyone here? No one, correct? Even though we have spent 10 additional years living in this material world, but still you can see positive transformation. So he says, O son of Kunti, you declare that my devotee never perishes. Which means my protection is always there for my devotee. You go and declare. He will not perish. Even though he may succumb sometimes to the push of his sinful tendencies, I will not let him perish, Krishna is promising. But that does not mean that we have the right and we can do anything we want, then it will become the seventh offense. Committing sins on the strength of the holy name. So I'll just, I have to rush because there is no time. There are other proofs also where in the, so basically the point that I'm trying to make is there is a difference between performing devotional service with material desires and performing devotional service for fulfilling material desires. These two are different things. Performing devotional service with material desires is actually what category we fall in. Vaidhi sadhakas. We have material desires, we are troubled by it, and simultaneously we are trying to please Krishna also. But who is a mixed devotee? A mixed devotee worships Krishna for fulfilling his desire. He prays to Krishna, Krishna please give me wealth, Krishna please make me famous, Krishna please let me go to Swarga and enjoy. Whereas a Vaidhi Sadhaka may be troubled by these desires, but if he is identifying it as anartha, so then it is proper. Then he is a Vaidhi Sadhaka. That's why when we discussed in the beginning, when you saw the definitions of mixed devotional service, if you remember, you see here the word abhisandaya. Abhisandaya means with intention. With the intention means the person is worshipping Krishna with the intentions of fulfilling his desire for pride, violence, hatred, etc. We may be troubled by desires for violence, pride and hatred, but we will pray to Krishna to remove it, not to fulfill it, correct? Similarly, again the same word abhisandaya comes here in Rajogun. Okay, with intentions of material gain, fame, wealth, we also have desire for fame, desire for wealth, it may be there. But we may think, that we may identify ourselves as, I am being troubled by this desire for fame. Even though it may be a very powerful force, but nevertheless, in our perfected state, do we see ourselves possessing that particular desire for fame? We may not. And again here, the word Uddishya. Uddishya means Uddesh, intention. Again the same word comes. So a mixed devotee performs devotional service with the intention of getting all these material things, whereas a Vaidhi Sadhaka is troubled by these desires and he wants them removed. So therefore, presence of these desires does not disqualify one from practicing pure devotional service. Whereas, wanting to fulfill those desires through worshipping Krishna is what actually makes him into a mixed devotee. So therefore, anyabhilashita shunyam. We may be anyabhilashita shunyam, we may, but at the same time, we may be troubled by lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, pride, like that. That is why bhakti produces anartha nivritti. Otherwise, what is the meaning of anartha nivritti? If being freed of anarthas is a prerequisite to practice bhakti, then what is the credit of bhakti? Who gets the credit for that? So therefore, we need not be too hard on ourselves. that I am not fit to practice pure devotional service. Nowhere in scriptures, if you find a reference, you please get it. We can discuss about it. Nowhere in scriptures, whether it is Bhagavad Gita or Bhakti Rasam Sindhu or Bhagavatam, anywhere, it is mentioned that conditioning, our level of conditioning, is an obstacle to practicing pure devotional service. No, it's an obstacle to practicing, but it is a disqualification. If someone is severely conditioned, he is unqualified from practicing pure devotional service. If there is a statement anywhere, you can please get it. We will discuss. So therefore, one should not say, you see this person, he is so severely conditioned. You think he can practice pure devotional service? Now my question is, if he cannot practice, then what is his hope? Who is going to purify him? So therefore, we have to understand that, of course, we will see this, we will cover these aspects little later when we go through later sections of Bhakti Rasama Sindhu. And after discussing mixed devotional service, the three definitions we saw, next, actually in that very same chapter, next Krishna describes, Kapiladev describes the definition of pure devotional service. Madguna Shruti Matrena Mayi Sarva Guhashaye Manogati Ravichinna Yata Gangamba Sombudav Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Hyudahritam Ahaituki Avyavahita Ya Bhakti Purushottame. You see, here he says, I won't go through the whole verse, but here he says, Nirgunasya Bhakti Yogasya Lakshanam, he says. These are the symptoms of Nirguna Bhakti, Krishna says here in the third and fourth line. The quality of Bhakti beyond the gunas. So he says these are the symptoms of Nirguna Bhakti. And you know what he tells in the next verse? He tells what is the result of practicing this Nirguna Bhakti. The next verse he says, next to next verse he says, Saeva Bhakti Yogakya Atyantika Udahrita Yenati Vrajya Trigunam Madbhava Yopa Padyati. He says, by practicing this Nirguna Bhakti, he says, Yena Ativrajya Trigunam, one surpasses the three modes. You see, on one hand he is practicing Nirguna Bhakti, and on the other hand it says he overcomes the three modes, which means while practicing it and while having not overcome the three modes, is he practicing Nirguna Bhakti? He is. So where is that Nirguna in that Nirguna Bhakti? In his value system, in his Shraddha, in his conviction. And where are the three modes which are getting purified by that Bhakti? The Swabhava, in the Vasanas, in the impressions. Is it clear? I mean, you will encounter this again and again if you look at it deeply and not superficially. You will find this concept again and again being repeated throughout the scriptures. In Bhagavatam, so many places. Another one place I will share, one or two I will share, and then maybe we can continue this. With this, I will pause, and we'll, for a few minutes we can take some quick comments. Another very interesting verse spoken by Vidura to Maitreya in the third canto. Yascha mudatama loke, yascha buddhehe param gataha, tavubhav sukamedete klishyati antaritojana. So here, Vidura is telling Maitreya that, my dear Lord, two kinds of people are very happy in this world. Who are they? This is again in response to Prabhuji's question. Vidura is answering your question. He is telling, two kinds of people are very happy in this world. Yascha mudatama doke, the absolutely materialistic people, they are very happy. Why? Because they don't have any value system to say that what you are doing is wrong. No guilt. Because guilt comes only when there is a value system. If there is no value system, no guilt, so there is no problem. And second category of people are yascha buddhehe param gataha. One who is self-realized. Because his value system and his natural inclinations parallel one another. He naturally feels like doing only those things which are prescribed in the scriptures as being right. These two people are tavubhav sukamedete. These two are always happy. But one category of person suffers. Klishyati antarito jana, the middle person. Who is that middle person? Sadhakas. Why? Because their shraddha is paramgataha and their swabhava is mudatamaloke. So the swabhava pulls in one direction, the shraddha says, just think about what you are doing. Do you think your guru will be happy by this? And then he said, can't you just keep quiet for some time? Why you are making me guilty all the time? Like that this tug of war keeps going on. So therefore, klishyati antarito jana. But this struggle is a good struggle. Struggle is not necessarily bad. Because only this struggle will take us from being mudatama loke to yascha buddhehe param gataha. If we give up this struggle, then we will never reach that stage. This struggle is what is slowly realigning our swabhava in the direction of our shraddha. So therefore, to give up struggle is a very unfortunate situation. To struggle in itself is not bad. This is because ultimately we want to realign our swabhava in the direction of our shraddha. We want to realign our conditioning. We want to recondition our heart so that it can naturally start yearning for a relationship with Krishna. Not just because the scriptures say, but in a very spontaneous way, just like a mother yearns for the association of her child, just like a friend yearns for the association of his friend. In the same way, we should yearn for the association of Krishna. That's what Rupa Goswami mentions in his Padyavali. Actually, it's not his composition, he quotes from one another author. Yuvatinam yata yuno, yunam cha yuvatau yata, manobiramate tadvat manobiramate tvai. Manobiramatam tvai, he says. That just like a young woman hankers for the association of a man and a young man hankers for the association of a woman, let my mind hanker for your association, O Krishna. Like that he says. So, in the sense that it is spontaneous. So the poet is indicating the nature of that attraction is spontaneous. So let me have that kind of a spontaneity in my attraction towards you, O Krishna. Like that he is telling. So therefore, I have completed about 50% of this presentation. But the other 50%, because I have laid the foundation, it won't take long. So next time when we meet, I'll complete this presentation. But why did I make this presentation? Because after hearing the definition of pure devotional service, if you feel, it's not about me, then the rest of the book has no relevance for us. Because this book is only for those who are practicing Anya Vilashita Shunya Bhakti only. So therefore, we need to understand and identify what we are practicing. Of course, we will eventually do it while we are discussing this whole book, Bhaktira Samsundu. Of course, not the whole book, at least the first 19 chapters we will do. But this will become little more clearer and clearer. But I wanted to give this understanding so that once we move forward, the rest of the sections will become little more clear. So I'll pause here for a few minutes. If 2 minutes, if there are any quick comments, questions, discussions, yes. So, Mataji's question is, what about those people who don't repent but who justify? So, this actually, if you run behind a cat, what will the cat do? It will run away. What if inside this room, closed from all four sides, you run behind that cat and corner it? It will jump on you. So, but that is not the natural nature of the cat to jump on you. The natural nature of the cat is you run, it will run away. So, when we similarly confront a person, especially with the person with whom we have not invested in establishing a relationship, when we confront him, natural response of that person would be to justify only, because no one wants to be seen as a bad person. So that person is justifying does not mean he is internally also justifying. That you do not know. He only knows. Whether he is being embarrassed or whether he really thinks this is the right thing to do, you cannot say unless you have really invested in gaining the trust of that person so that he will reveal his heart to you. Otherwise, you catch him doing something wrong, and if he justifies, does not mean he is justifying. He is convinced that it is right. So therefore, these questions only we can answer for ourselves. Am I justifying? We cannot talk about if that person is justifying. Let that person think about it. We can think, when someone catches me doing wrong, when I justify, am I really convinced that what I am doing is right? Even though I may speak like that, but I know, you know, I have been cornered, and I don't know what to do. So therefore, I will respond in that way, just like that cat. You don't corner a cat, it'll take its natural course, like that. Anything else? If we are not the Durachari, if we are observing a Durachari, that should be our mood. But if we ourselves are in that category, then how we should think, this is the subject matter we will discuss in the next discussion. Next Tuesday we will continue with this. And then of course we will move on to the 6 benefits of practicing devotional service. Any last comment? Yes, Prabhu.
About karma being beginningless.
Can you note it down? We will discuss it next time. As you said, it will be a long discussion.
Chaturvija Bhajante Maam.
Yeah.
What does they call
it? Mixed devotees. Yeah. The Artho, Artharthi, and Jigyasu are Karma Mishra Bhaktas. The Jnani is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta.
What's the reference for this verse? Shakadamudan.
11th canto, 5th chapter. I will forget the verse number. Yes, ma'am. That is the way free will is defined in scriptures.
And that is how moving ahead from how we move towards Shraddha.
Correct.
But there are people in Krishna consciousness who not necessarily are attracted towards the scriptures, but they do follow one of the nine forms of devotional service and everything. So what about?
Are they convinced that they should not read scriptures? Not like that. They may not be very sincerely reading scriptures. Okay. Correct. See, that is the beginning level of this thing. That, you know, I like a particular limb, I like a particular limb. Fine. But eventually, we can't practice bhakti also on the... For how long we will practice bhakti also on the platform of raga and dvesha? At some point, we have to to begin with, you give up raga and choose bhakti. And in the initial stages of bhakti, you do those things which you like within the realm of bhakti. But eventually, we have to grow beyond that and also start doing things which are anukul. So, the best platform to practice bhakti is the platform of Anukulyasa Sankalpo Pratikulyasa Varjana. But because we are moving into bhakti with the inertia of Raga Sankalpo Dvesha Varjana. So when we get into bhakti, that inertia carries over for some time. For some people it is for a short time, for some people it's for a long time, depending on the association that we have. So after coming to bhakti also, we may continue to act raga, sankalpo, dvesha, varjana. But we have to consciously think, no. Anukul. When I chose bhakti, I decided anukulyasya sankalpo, pratikulyasya, varjana. Now after coming to bhakti, also I should continue. So what is good, what is bad, you know, that understanding should keep on getting more and more refined. You know, we can't just say that I am doing bhakti only, na? Not like that. Over a period of time, slowly that understanding should get more and more refined. Okay, that's the indication that it's time. So we will pause here and we will continue this discussion next Tuesday. So thank you very much for your patience listening. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki, Bhakti Rasam Sindhu.